Tango Tango Papa 2056, July 24th, 2020.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this morning from Kearney, Nebraska. So, I was looking back. It looks like it's been, the last podcast was on the 28th, and today's the 24th, so almost a month, coming up on a month. Of course, I've thought about recording a podcast in between time, and I just never did get around to it. Been very busy with work. I did take time off around, it ended up being right after July 4th. Got home on the 5th, and then came back to work, I believe, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Came back to work on the 11th. So, was home for a while, and then I'll be going home again on August the 2nd. So, but in the meantime, I've been very, very busy. So, it would have been possible for me to, it's always possible to record podcasts, but the problem is, I do have to sleep, and I'm no longer willing to kind of allow the podcasting time to kind of cut into my sleep as I once was, and at one time I was motivated to do that. You go back a number of years, and that's just not the case anymore, so. In any event, the mass hysteria continues. At this point, I'm kind of really avoiding as much as possible. I still see some headlines, and I'm really avoiding the mainstream, so-called mainstream news, or even, it's possible to end up overloading on alternative sources as well. So, I did find there's an application, at least on Android, and I'm guessing it's probably on, it's probably available for iOS as well. It's called Good News Network. So there's this, if you just type in good news into, at least in the Google Play Store, and probably also on, the iOS applications, you can probably find that. It's an app, and it has nothing but sort of they're pretty much non-political stories. And someone is filtering through them so that they're all, it's like the thing says, they're sort of all good news. So if I feel like I really need to look at the phone or look at articles, I will admit they're sort of bland. Many of the articles are pretty bland, but there is that option, so it's not necessary to jump into all this negative stuff, because that's, we as human beings are probably biologically designed to respond much more to, we have a much higher response to negative things than we do to positive things. And that makes sense, because if you go back in time, you know, our ancestors, you know, if let's say that there was a snake or something, we're designed to really notice those for whatever reason. We, you know, you just, you know, you see a snake or something, and you know, and we're that type of thing. That's we're designed, you know, that's really you could, that's really a kind of a negative thing to see a snake, and so we are designed physiologically to really respond to. We have a hyper awareness to things that let's say that are, you know, that would kind of destroy, you know, really kill or eat our ancestors. And so therefore, you know, for whatever reason, we respond to negative stuff much more than we do positive stuff. And I think the problem, one of the problems, you know, because we have our physiology and we have our psychological tendencies, but that applies, you know, we, you know, human beings have it, we have this animal side, meaning we, you know, we have this physical animal thing, but human beings are more than just an animal. We also have a you know, kind of a spiritual side. And when I'm saying the word spiritual, I'm talking about something that cannot, you know, it's the something that cannot be measured physically, you know, and basically that's in our mind. You can't really measure that physically. You know, the example I've heard is, you know, like if you have, let's say you have a piece of music and the music's got harmony and it's got a tune to it. Well, on the one hand, you could say, well, that's information, and you can record the information. You know, if it's a song, let's say, you can record the information, but it doesn't necessarily, you know, it's more than just recorded information. There's something there that's really non-physical. And so we as human beings, we have this non-physical aspect, really our minds, you know, that's maybe, you know, however it is, it's contained within our brain, but, you know, or within our nerve cells, let's say. But what comprises that is something, there's a non-physical kind of an aspect to it. And, you know, almost like an informational aspect to it. So the I forgot where I was going with this. Well, getting back, or the negative and the negative news. So, you know, we respond much more to negative than we do to positive. Well, the problem is we have this fallen nature. You know, we're kind of born with, you know, the idea of born in sin. We have this sort of fallen nature. So we have a tendency to want to play God in our own minds. Now, how do we do that? We judge things. You know, we kind of respond to things. You know, it's one thing to respond, let's say you see a, you know, you're walking along and you see a snake and, oh, there's a snake, you know, and you jump back or you keep your distance from it. That's one thing, but it's another thing to entirely to kind of go along, you know, and you have your, you know, looking for snakes in your smartphone, for example. Meaning, here you are, you have this device and you're just looking for negative things so that you can judge them. You know, people love to complain about negative news, but, you know, are they going and looking for the positive stuff? Generally not. You know, they're looking for the negative stuff, and then it, you know, then makes them more miserable, and then they look for some more, and they're, you know, you could say that they're sort of looking for some sort of a dopamine hit. And you're going to get the maximum dopamine hit in a negative sense, you're going to get the maximum dopamine hit out of the negative news, out of the really negative stories, so-called narratives. And so it really makes a difference just shutting all of that stuff off. Just turn it all off. You know, and a lot of people, you know, I find that I still end up with people, and I've said this in the past, I still end up with people sending me stories and, you know, and I kind of glance through it usually and look at the headlines and that's the end of it. If someone does send, or same way with email, I'll kind of look through. But I'm not necessarily, I don't go out, used to be, I would go to all these news sites. I just don't do that anymore. It's really worthless. Really is worthless. Waste of time. Yeah, so. Yeah, and lately, if I feel like I really need to listen to something, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, especially positive things. There's all kinds of different churches that upload their videos to YouTube, you know, so you got all these, you know, different sermons, basically, you know, where people are talking about biblical stories. And I find that, you know, those are much more positive. And so if I really need to listen to something, that's basically what I'm listening to nowadays. And there's plenty of it. There's more churches that are putting, you know, that are uploading sermons than you could ever listen to. And generally speaking, those stories are very positive. You know, even if they have negative elements to them, the stories in the Bible are actually very positive because they are, you know, even if they're negative or they're pointing out a, you know, some negative thing that somebody did, they are actually positive. The negative becomes a positive because it's sort of pointing out, you know, a moral to the story. There's always a, you know, so it's in, if it's in the Bible, there, you know, generally speaking, it's in there for a reason. It's that's condensed over, you know, whatever period of time. The Bible that has come down to us today has, you know, whatever is in there is usually very powerful, and it's in there for a reason. And it is in there to sort of show us, to awaken within us the latent morality that's written, basically written into our DNA. You know, there's, I think it says something, the Bible's sort of paraphrasing, it says it's sort of like written into our hearts. So we know, you know, we have a latent knowing of what is right and wrong. You know, we have, you know, may not necessarily be able to articulate it, but it needs to be reinforced, it needs to be awakened. And those biblical stories are really potent narratives that awaken those elements of morality. So that's, you can't get much more positive than to, at least the way I think, you know, it can't get much more positive than, you know, if as far as positive things or positive things to think about, really revolve around morality, revolve around right and wrong. And so that really is a solution. You know, if you want to, if you're tired of listening to all the news and you keep saying, well, I'm going to turn it off and what have you, and, you know, of course, the stuff, you get the sort of the bleed through where I still know what's going on. I still know, you know, I may not know all the details, but I still know what's going on. And the mass hysteria continues, but I don't want, you know, I don't want to be a part of it. You know, I choose to set myself apart from it, and I can. So, but as I've said before, you know, the mass hysteria is probably the most dangerous thing that we face. You know, because there's a, you know, it's mass hysteria, but mask hysteria. You know, you've got that's the kind of, is sort of the latest thing that's been going around is, you know, you have to wear a mask. You know, governors, a lot of the governors in the cities and the mayors, they're all saying, you know, kind of, we have these mask mandates. You have to wear a mask. You know, and then you have some people that don't want to wear a mask, and you know, and it's like if you say online in the right place, if you say online that you're not going to wear a mask, and you think masks are bad, then, you know, you may end up with a bunch of people jumping all over you for daring to express a different thought. And the mask thing is just the latest version. It's the latest incarnation of the same thing that's been going on forever. You know, why? What causes people to get so worked up about someone else's ideas? Not even necessarily actions, but ideas. People can come to blows over ideas. Now, one of the reasons why, well, I'd say probably the reason why, is because emotions are attached to those ideas. And so the people that are, you know, that really, even though they say we're being scientific and what have you, the people that are really rabidly crazy about wanting to force everybody to wear a mask 24/7, even in their own homes by themselves, those people have an emotion. They have these emotions that are attached to the idea of masks. And I think, you know, in the back of their mind, they really believe that, they, you know, possibly at least some of them really do believe that the mask is going to, you know, is their salvation. The mask is going to save them. The mask is going to prevent them from becoming sick and dying. Now, I don't really care one way or the other. I have a mask. I carry one around in my pocket, and I have some other ones, And if I have to, you know, if I go into a place and it says you have to have a mask, I whip that thing out and there I have it. But otherwise, I don't. But the thing to do, you know, in general, you know, with the mass hysteria, or mask hysteria, but the mass hysteria the cure for that is to remain as calm as you possibly can. You know, and if you find yourself, you know, if you find yourself around a lot of other people that are really rabidly insane, and they're rabidly excited, the thing to do is to become even more calm. Be as calm as you possibly can. And if that calmness is coming from the right place, the mass hysteria cannot penetrate it. But the thing to really do is, you know, at this point, what I'm doing, turn off all the stuff. Turn off all the negative crap. Because all of the, you know, all these stories that you get on your newscast or whatever, are they edifying your character? Are they improving your morals? The answer is no, and especially if you get upset. Especially if those stories upset you. They're not improving your morals. They're not edifying your morals. They're not edifying your character. They're simply dragging you down into the mud. Dragging you down into the mass hysteria. You know, and then into this, you have this so-called cancel culture that's going on, especially on like places like Twitter. And I was thinking about that. What is the cancel? That's basically, it's bullying. And it's kind of, you know, you have the phenomena you used to have, like with the, you know, any kind, you know, this has always been around, but you, like the CB radio, which I've talked about in the past, where you had people kind of it degenerated into, you know, where people were just kind of dissing each other, tearing each other down, see who could come up with the best insult. You know, threatening behind a microphone, and then, you know, and whereas that did, you know, has resulted in physical confrontations, generally people, you know, they just hide behind their microphone. Certainly the same thing is true online. But it's simply mass, you know, kind of like a mass hysterical bullying, a type of bullying. So really the best thing to do is just don't engage with it. Don't be there. because you'll never argue, because again, emotions are attached. And as long as emotions are attached, you can never reason with someone. Ever. As long as emotions are attached, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your breath. Again, the solution is to be as calm as possible, coming from the right calm place, and that really is the antidote for it. It doesn't necessarily straighten out the person that's all emotional, but it can. Ultimately, it they'll either destroy themselves, or they'll eventually realize that they're wrong. They may never tell you that in so many words. But eventually they may, something's going to happen, and you have the so-called Trump derangement syndrome, and that's really what this is all about right now. Because regardless of what they've tried to say, Trump's upset or whatever, Trump upsets them. In such a way that, and everything that they do backfires. Everything they've done, everything they continue to do, ends up backfiring. And they're in the process of destroying themselves. Now, I don't know what the end of that level of hysteria that some of these people are at or in. I don't know where that ends. It might be useful if I could, kind of find out. And I'm sure there's probably stuff to read or videos to watch about this topic. What ends up happening? Let's say someone becomes just unbelievably upset, and the upset doesn't have anywhere to go. What is the end result of that? Do they end up becoming crazy? Just kind of going off the deep end, or does it end in their demise? I'm certain that some of it ends, just in where the person is just utterly insane. But I don't know where that ends at. I may want to go back and take another look at the French Revolution, because there was a really strong element, during the French Revolution, there was a really strong element of mass hysteria. So it would probably be useful to go back and take a look at the aftermath, kind of the end and the aftermath of the French Revolution, and sort of see how that played out. So, anyway, I have a clip here from Joel, and I have listened to it, and he's kind of talking about several different things, including the masks and what have you. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. Joel McLaughlin here. Hopefully you're heading back home sometime this week to celebrate the holiday with your family. Hope so, anyway. If not, either way, have a good 4th of July and celebrate your freedom while you have it. The one thing that I've noticed, at least with both coronavirus and Black Lives Matter stuff, or basically any time the liberal left has something to say, or something that they're mad about, the thing I always notice is the term they have is called the new normal. This will never be normal to me, but that's what they want us to think. And I think they may be in for a rude awakening, because I think there's lots of Americans that are sick and tired of the left's crap. And I think that the polls are silent because people like myself don't want to put our name on a poll, for one. I don't really want to put, if somebody called me about a poll, first, I probably wouldn't know or be able to answer. See, that's the thing that a lot of folks forget. The pollsters kind of do things the same way some of the scammers do. They'll cold call you randomly. And when people cold call me on my phone, and I don't recognize the number, 9 times out of 10, I don't answer it. Now, if I did answer it, and I did say who it was, I probably wouldn't necessarily tell them I'm going to vote for Trump. Because quite honestly, that's no one's businesses but my own. That's why I'm not a fan of mail-in voting, although if that's the only option, I will do that, of course. Which, right now they really haven't said that's the only option. But that's what people want us to think, that this is a new normal. Like, I just got back from the grocery store, and in fact, I'm sitting in the driveway here trying to enjoy my air conditioning a little bit. before I have to haul in all the stuff. But, when I went to the grocery store, one thing I noticed was, now granted, I have to applaud what Hanes did and what several other, things that you would normally never see in the grocery stores that you do now see there. Things like masks and stuff and hand sanitizer. In fact, seeing hand sanitizer we saw before, but now we have so much choice with whose we go with. Like, for example, I got a bottle sitting in the car here next to me. It's called Soapbox Hand Sanitizer, which I have never heard of that brand before the coronavirus. Today, I actually was able to find some actual Germax, a brand I have heard of before at the store, so I picked up a couple more bottles. But the funniest thing here, though, is look, picked up this bottle and says that this bottle of hand sanitizer is cruelty free and vegan. Like, I hope it is, because usually all it is alcohol and some stuff that makes gel. Anywho, but companies are stepping up to take care of things that they need to. You know, of the, am I a masker or a anti-masker? I'm not either. I'm in the middle. I will wear a mask if a place wants me to, but most often I'm not. Because I don't really think, because the thing is, and the thing that, probably the thing that, that the CDC and Fauci and all the others did and that Trump shouldn't have done was they should have listened. Well, Trump didn't really have a choice. There's all these governors like Mike DeWine, the Rhino here in Ohio, and all these others that made a lot of these things. But what I have figured out all the way back in March was this ain't going away, folks. This ain't that different than anything else that we've had before. These kinds of viruses have been around before. Now, I'm also here heard today that supposedly there's another virus, of influenza virus, that started in pigs again. It's like, well, you know, they got time on that one. And it's influenza, so it's not that different. So they'll just add it to the shot. But the moral of the story is that it's far too damaging to the country and to the world to do what we did for this one again. They're never going to do it again. That's my hope. And after November, I'm hoping that we get leaders in office to have what they need to do to save our system. And I think that's going to happen. So, hey-o, talk to you later.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. So, number one, this virus and then now these riots, especially, you know, with the Democrat governors and the Democrat mayors, what they're trying to do is inflict the maximum amount of misery that they possibly can, and they're hoping, you know, you should be familiar with the concept of a scapegoat. And so the idea of a scapegoat was you have this goat, and, you know, you splatter the thing with blood, and it every place it steps, it's scattering blood, you know, blood footprints everywhere. Imagine that. And then, so the idea is that people end up, because they see the blood on the goat, they think the goat is responsible for their misery. So they're trying to do that with Trump. They're hoping that all of these, this misery that people feel, that they'll direct it towards Donald Trump. Now, I don't believe it's going to work. I think that people see through it, and I think it's just serving to, especially the people that aren't paying attention, I think it's serving to make people realize just what they could lose if they vote the wrong way. You know, sometimes, you know, it's one thing to read about or hear about, you know, someone describe what it's like to live in a communist country or a socialist country or under a dictatorship. But there's nothing like experiencing it for yourself. You know, there's, it's like I've always said, you know, you learn maybe 5% out of a book, but you know, really 95% of what you really learn, you learn by doing it or living it. And so I think that what they're doing is, you know, further sealing their own fate as far as, you know, with the virus, and then they're pushing that as hard as they possibly can, and then the riots, you know, and it's only happening in Democrat cities, and, you know, it's just insane. And then you have, you know, and of course they can't help themselves. You also have to remember that, like that crazy Chicago mayor is a great example, you know, and there are other, you know, they're just insane, and they're saying their insane things, and you know, even like Nancy Pelosi calling us Donald Trump's virus, or so she said something to that effect. People see right through her, and more people are seeing, you know. So, you know, it's not going to have, you know, it's going to have an impact, all right, but it's going to be exactly, it's backfiring just like everything else has backfired on them. This is going to backfire too, if it hasn't already, you know. So, but, you know, expect things to get more and more chaotic as we advance towards the election. Now, you're talking about the new, so-called new normal. One of the reasons people are using that phrase is because when they do that, they're hoping to make people miserable and, you know, kind of grind their heel in people's faces, you know. And it's basically, I think it revolves around the idea of permanent disruption. You know, your life is permanently disrupted, and you'll never, it'll never be not undisrupted again. It's just permanent disruption, and I think they love to put the bandy that phrase about that, you know, to try to, it's, you know, it's just a way of trying to make people more upset. And of course, the more upset they're able to make you, then they can, you know, the greater the chance that they're going to put their programming in you, you know. So best possible thing that you can do, I'll go back to what I've said in prior podcasts. This is a very unique time, especially with all this lockdown, shutdown type thing that's been going on. Best possible thing that anyone can do is use this time to really ask yourself, why am I here? Why do I exist? Really reflect on that. And become as calm as you possibly can from, you know, find the place within yourself where you find, you know, you can find the maximum calmness. Regardless of what's going on around you or how chaotic it seems to get or how emotional people get, the solution is to remain as calm as you possibly can while really genuinely seeking the answer to the questions, why am I here? Why do I exist? What's the purpose of my existence? Those kind of questions. And if you're sincere about those, then you will find answers. And you can, if you're really sincere, you can find that place of calmness that I'm talking about. You know, it's kind of the peace that passes all understanding. They're talking about the hand sanitizer. I see that in truck stops, and of course, it's, you know, there's all these weird brands now. And I see, you know, in the truck stops, I see these little bitty bottles, you know, and they're like $12. You know, and I haven't bought a single bottle of hand sanitizer. The only thing that I've bought, a couple of months ago, I bought a, you know, it comes in a red package, and it's called something or other wipes. I'll have to actually look, and I can tell you the name of it. Let's see, what's the name of that? Wet Ones. They're called Wet Ones, and there's, I don't know, like 30, what is it, 30 things, 20 things? 20 wipes in a package, and you know, there's, I got it at Sam's Club, there's like 6 packages in a box, you know, 6, you know, they're in resealable, like a plastic envelope type thing, and I got those, I did buy them, and so I bring them with me in the truck, and actually, you know, I kind of, you know, I'm not really worried about the virus very much, actually, but, I do every morning, you know, I kind of wipe my face and wipe my hands and arms down, and they're actually very useful for that. You know, and if I really, you know, the other thing I have is a bottle of rubbing. I always keep a bottle of rubbing alcohol in the truck. I have for many years. And so I'll, do the same thing with that occasionally, kind of, you know, you get a paper towel and sort of wet the paper towel with it and then just sort of wipe whatever I need to wipe. And that's a really good way of kind of cleaning, especially hands and face, you know, if you don't have water and soap available, you know, and that's really handy. So, and then I've also bought some of the little, you know, at Walmart, you got the lens wipes. And those are really great for wiping things down like lenses or cleaning. You know, I also use it to clean my cell phone with and keep the crap off of that, you know. So with the hand sanitizer, you know, I see all these weird brands and it's way overpriced. It's ridiculous. They're talking, you mentioned the masks again. The masks, I think one of the problems with the masks, and I haven't heard anybody really talk about this, but I think that some people, you know, everybody likes to be able to, whether we realize it or not, we like to be able to see people's faces, because that's, you know, we have, you know, you can voluntarily smile or frown or, you know, we've got a lot of voluntary control over our faces. But there are also a lot of involuntary, like, what do they call them, micro expressions that we make. And, you know, our brain actually reads those micro expressions. And while we may consciously not even be aware of it. And so when you cover half of somebody's face up, you know, where all, you know, or more, then that kind of throws that system out the window. And I think some people really end up with a, you know, kind of a higher degree of anxiety. I think different people are probably more or less sensitive to, you know, that micro expression reading, recognizing system that we have as human beings. It's sort of built in biologically. And I believe that you know, with some people, it really, they're really feeling anxiety. And so, you know, it's not just a political, of course, they've tried to make it into a political thing, but, because that's what they do. But I think there is something, you know, as far as, you know, people are feeling anxiety. Some people do feel a higher level of anxiety with all, you know, with people, you know, kind of walking around, you know, where you can't read their facial expressions very well, if at all, because all you can kind of see is their eyes, maybe. And if they've, you know, I see some people, you know, they've got their eyes covered up too, or, you know, maybe with sunglasses or what, or, you know, some kind of a hat. And then plus they've got two-thirds of their face covered with some sort of a mask, you know. And I do believe that some people probably are having a, you know, almost a negative biological reaction to that. And it also, you know, along those same lines, you think, well, they can wear a mask themselves and it's just preventing other people from seeing their facial expression. Well, that figures right into it too, because we have the micro, you know, these so-called micro expressions for a reason. You know, there's a tremendous amount of nonverbal communications that goes on. You know, just if you walk into someplace and you just happen to meet somebody on the street and walk past them, there's quite a bit of nonverbal communications as far as body language and those micro expressions that are going on, even if you don't say a word to that person and they just walk right past you without even looking at you. There is still you've got systems within your biology that are assessing whether that person's a threat or not. And, you know, same way with you. You know, you're sort of projecting either I'm a friendly person, or you can trust me, or not. And of course, you know, one of the big things is facial expressions, being able to read those micro facial expressions. And as I say, I think that really interferes with many people's, you know, it interferes with that system, and it causes people to have real anxiety. You know, it's not just some, you know, because it's a political thing. I think there is some biological anxiety that goes on. So anyway, thank you, Joel, for the comments. The final thing I want to talk about, I don't know, you know, I've mentioned a lot, you know, quite a bit probably about Jordan Peterson in the past and the Jordan Peterson videos that are on YouTube. And he has an excellent series where he went through, I don't know, maybe like the first few books of the Bible, of the Old Testament. And if you haven't watched those are really good. You know, you have to pay attention to them. You know, you don't want to just kind of try to do something else. You can drive while you're listening to it, but you really have to pay attention in order to get, you know, get the maximum amount out of it. In any case, in one of them, he's, you know, there's this phrase, the meek shall inherit the earth. And so there's this Greek word, and I'm probably going to mispronounce it, praus, P-R-A-U-S, is how it's spelled. And that's, you know, that you can translate that into the word meek. But it really means more than that. It's sort of like demonstrating power without undue harshness. Now, the way Jordan Peterson interpreted that, he said it would be like you have a sword, you know how to use it, you have a sword on your belt, you know how to use it, but you keep it sheathed. Or, you know, it would be like your gun, and you have it, you know, you have it on your person, but you keep it in the holster. That's really what it means. It doesn't mean, oh, you're going to be weak or gentle or that type of thing. You know, it's just it's a mistranslation. You know, because you'd really have to do that with a phrase as opposed to just one word. If you're, you know, kind of translating it, praeus into English. But again, it's demonstrating power without undue harshness. So, what does that mean? That means, hey, let's do, unconcealed carry. But of course, you have to have moral people in order to do that. But that's really what it means, is that people that know how to defend themselves and are willing and able to defend themselves, but, you know, that they're able to do that, but at the same time, they're able to be civilized. So, you know, it's kind of a balance. They're able, if you push them, they're able to defend themselves. Don't mess with them, but they can also, you know, but it's also balanced. You know, they are civilized people. So that's what it means. And so there's a lot of things like that that are in the Bible that have been sort of mistranslated. Some of it, you know, maybe, you know, is it on purpose? Possibly some of it is. Some of it may be, you know, just because, you know, one person mistranslated it, and then you get a bunch of others that copy each other that mistranslate it. So sometimes it's really good to, you know, kind of go back and, you know, the other thing, you know, people think, well, thou shalt not kill. Well, if the original language means thou shalt not, you know, thou shalt not commit murder. It doesn't mean you can't kill a fly or you don't, you're not going to kill somebody. If somebody threatens you, kill them. You know, if you have to, kill them. It's not a, that's not a sin. But just don't, you know, don't go around murdering people. That's a different thing. So, but there are, I think there are plenty of words that have been kind of poorly translated, or maybe in some of it I think is deliberate. And of course there's, you know, there are other, probably I think plenty of other examples that I've heard over the years, but those two, especially that, you know, the meek shall inherit the earth. It does not mean the weak. It does not mean the gentle. It means the people that can know how to defend themselves, don't screw around with them. They know how to defend themselves, but if you're civilized, they're civilized too. That's what it means. So, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. Hope everyone is having has had a great week. Today's actually Friday. Hope you have a great weekend coming up, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.